y'all. Here's another matinee review of a new movie that we saw this week. This was actually a documentary. We rented this on Xbox, yeah?
Yeah.
It's either 2019 or 2020. I think it said 2020 on the Xbox.
Yeah, thing. Yeah, this is a badass documentary. It's true crime.
Kind of, yeah. Well, I guess
I remember when this shit happened. This is about Tank Man, the guy who made his own tank, tore the damn town up. Yeah. Back in what, 2004?
2004. It's funny because you had told me about this news story and you wanted to, because remember when we were doing like news stories at the beginning and you told me about it and I read about it. I was like, holy crap. And then we just kind of forgot about it.
We were going to do a show on this.
We were going to do a show about it or at least like mention it. And then I kind of forgot about it. And then we saw the other day that the Xbox rental thing had put up a documentary about it.
Yeah. And I go, there it is, Jenny. There's that fucking tag.
And I was like, that's that guy. So it's like, so we're like, we have to watch that and review it.
And
so,
I remember when this happened, it was 2004, I saw it on the news, and this dude was in this homemade tank, he had his giant fucking bulldozer, and he armored the top of it, he had like a couple of 50 cals, just, you know, fucking, one of them was bolt action, the other one I think was a Barrett, and he was shooting at the damn propane tanks out in the field, he was tearing down, he tore it up the concrete plant, tore down stores, he was just tearing shit up, didn't kill anybody, but...
Thankfully, he easily could have.
He could have. I don't think he was trying to. He was just trying to destroy all their businesses. And I remember when it happened, I was like, what the fuck is this about? And later on, I heard like some rumors that came through the media at that time. This is, you know, pretty much the old media. That he had some beef with the town and some people screwed over his business, you know, and that he was taking vengeance on them. And it came out with this documentary that explains it in a little bit more detail than that. I mean, at first I kind of thought maybe he had a legitimate beef, and it kind of makes it sound legitimate at first in the documentary. Then you find out dude is like suffering from paranoid delusions. They didn't fuck him over. He just thought they did. It's a bizarre story. I really recommend it.
Yeah, this was like really a very compelling documentary. I didn't know a hell of a lot about the case. Like I read about it like a while back. I think what ended up happening, the dude's name was Marvin Heemeyer. Like I said, this happened in Granby, Colorado.
Yeah, we called him Marv.
Yeah, back in 2004. Yeah. And I think what ended up happening was the day after the incident, didn't they say at the end of this that Ronald Reagan died? And so that kind of took over all the media headlines. So everyone just kind of forgot about it. Because this was like big news, like on the day it happened. Because they had like helicopters and everything like that, like kind of filming his rampage.
Yeah. So, it kind of made sense, though, why people stopped talking about it. First of all, it was a small town.
Very small.
It was a bunch of people that knew each other. It seemed to be a personal disagreement. No one was killed. And the guy who did it, Marv, everybody liked him. You would think that he was just some kind of raving lunatic, but no, he had a lot of friends. Everybody liked him. Nobody knew he had any problem with anybody. He was just struggling with a mental illness that only affected him, I guess, when he was alone. He was hiding it from everybody else. And he was convinced that the entire town was against him. But he didn't really express this to anybody. Nobody knew.
Yeah, I feel like he maybe, like, because they had a couple of his friends on there. And I guess he kind of complained about stuff that happened at the time. Like, he had a muffler shop. Yeah. And, you know, they said he could build anything. He was a really good welder and stuff. And he had, like, a good reputation, like, as a businessman in town. And it seems like... Even though he complained about, like, oh, they're giving me shit about, you know, I bought this property. He bought the property at auction and, like, you know, trying to, like, hook it up to water and sewer. And he was thinking that everyone was, like, out to get him or, like, out picking on him because he only moved to the town. I don't remember where he was from originally, but he only moved to the town in, like, 91 or 92 or something like that.
He got out of the Air Force and was only going to be there for 6 months, but he liked it and he stayed and he kind of started dating some woman. There, you know, and he was young. He died at like 52 or 53, I think.
Yeah.
He was a very intelligent ex-Air Force guy and a really good welder, and he loved a fucking snowmobile, and he had all these buddies that, you know, snowmobile buddies, and they loved the dude. You know, he could make anything. There was a family. I forgot what they were called, but they were kind of...
The Thompsons.
The Thompsons. They were the most wealthy family in the town.
Yeah, they'd been there for like a really long time.
They've been there for generations.
The boards and everything.
They owned a lot of the property.
Yeah.
they bought the property next to his, and other things were building up, and the city told him that he had to get onto the sewer main.
Yeah, the water and sewer, yeah.
He claimed that he was being blocked from getting on the sewer main. You know, it was another $20,000 or $30,000 to dig the damn trench, and it had to go through somebody else's property. He said that it had to go through Thompson's property. He said the Thompsons weren't letting him do that.
That they wouldn't give him an easement.
They wouldn't give him easement. But a lot of this turned out to be bullshit. He was recording it. He recorded everything, and they play in the documentaries him complaining about what was happening. But it was just his perception of it.
That's what that's what freaked me out so much about this. Because like I said, I didn't know a huge amount. I was just like, oh, I thought this guy... All I knew really was this guy like thought he had some beef with the town. Whether he really did or not, I didn't know, like, prior to watching this. And he just like went on a fucking rampage. He built a fucking tank, essentially, like out of a huge bulldozer, and just like knocked a whole bunch of people's...
And it was well made. It wasn't
businesses.
Some...
Yeah, it's like, and it was scary because like the cops were just like, they didn't know what to do. It's like they're shooting at it. They're trying to blow it up. It's like nothing is working and they couldn't get in there. And it's like...
He had a ventilation system inside the tank. He had cameras, and the cameras themselves were behind 2 inches of fucking solid Lexan. And then he had fucking compressed air system to fucking blow off the lenses, because he knew that debris would end up on top of the tank, because he was planning. He said God had told him that, you know, God kept giving him these messages that he had to destroy the town because of the Thompsons. So he had this thing all fucking rigged up. He had a 50 out the front and a 50 out the back. There was no way to get into the tank.
Yeah.
He got into the fucking bulldozer first and then lowered this tank hull over the fucking bulldozer and sealed himself inside. He had no intention to come out alive. They sent the SWAT team down there eventually. I'm not going to tell the whole story, but they sent the SWAT team to blow a hole in the side of the tank, and they used two breaching charges. They couldn't get through it. Didn't even fucking scratch it.
Yeah.
They eventually just had to cut through the tank when they found him. He was dead.
It's just, this is like an amazing story. And it's really fascinating because at first they kind of make you, because he recorded a whole bunch of tapes. Like, he recorded himself talking, like, before he went and did this, kind of like airing his grievances and saying why he was doing it. And at first he seems almost sympathetic. Like, you think maybe he has, I'm not saying that what he did, that was like way over the top, obviously, but you think, oh, well, you could understand why he would be mad. But then, like, as it goes on and they start expanding and like talking to other people in the town and stuff like that, you start to realize
that he's imagining this,
that he's, that it's like a total delusion, that he's like misinterpreting things. Like, everyone is like persecuting him. It's almost like paranoid schizophrenia.
I think it was paranoid schizophrenia. And I think he was intelligent, and he was somehow able to hide his paranoid schizophrenia from other people. But in private, this is what he was thinking. Nobody was fucking him over. He bought that piece of property for $40,000. Later on, the Thompsons built stuff around his property that actually would have allowed him to get into the sewer system for much, much cheaper than it was originally going to be, because they could just tie into theirs,
right,
and it was closer. And then later on, the Thompsons bought his piece of property. And here's another thing, is that the Thompsons being around him didn't affect his business at all. He was still making money.
Yeah.
So he was claiming that he was being cut off from the public, but he wasn't. He was still had lots of customers. He was making money.
It's not like they built another muffler shop like right next door. They ran like a cement company, right? Yeah, it was a cement company.
And then later on, the Thompsons purchased his lot and his little shed for $400,000.
Either them or it was that other guy in town. I can't remember.
Either way, he was not losing money.
Yeah, he was making like 10 times his money back.
He made 10 times his money back off that damn piece of property.
Like 10 years after he bought it.
Yeah, he made a lot of money. And then they rented it back to him, or so he could stay there. He didn't even have to leave if he didn't want to. And he got $400,000out of that. But he could have taken the $400,000 and bought a better lot. You know what I mean? Somewhere closer to where the customers were. So This whole he was being fucked over thing, I bought into it for a few minutes watching the program. But then the more I found out about it, it was just, the dude was tripping.
Yeah,
he had a successful business and he was making a shit ton of money.
That's what was so scary. Nobody was attacking him. That's what was so scary and what I found so compelling is that someone at first who kind of seems like I said, what he did was not excusable.
It seemed like he had a legitimate beef though.
But it did seem like he had a legitimate beef. But then as it goes on, it's really frightening to think how people, once they get an idea in their head that they're being, you know, persecuted or that everyone's out to get them, and how every single thing that happens, like, feeds back into that.
Yeah, well, he wasn't normal, though. It was
exactly.
It was definitely some kind of paranoid schizophrenia. It was a paranoid delusion.
And nobody knew. Like, no one really suspected and he was hiding, like, what he was up to.
He was hiding his feelings from other people.
Yeah.
So nobody didn't call attention to it. People thought he was just a happy, red, normal guy.
Yeah, and that's like terrifying.
But when he was by, himself, he thought they were all coming after him, and that he actually built a tank to get revenge.
Yeah.
For some kind of perceived wrong that never happened.
It's crazy.
Yeah.
It's a crazy, crazy story.
Right.
And I should say, I mean, this documentary is really, really good. It's have like a shit ton of interviews, like all the people in the town. Yeah. They play like large chunks of the tapes that he left. They have they do like really, really nicely filmed like reenactments for stuff that they didn't have news footage of. They do have a lot of news footage because
and then it tells the whole story, what he thought, what was really going on, and then it fucking builds up to the day of his Mad Max assault onto the fucking town. And they actually playing Mad Max, the music from Mad Max, as he's going
like
down
in a cheesy way, but
yeah. It's like you know, where they're actually, it's going to take, the cops can do nothing. It's going to be hours for the National Guard to actually get a tank, another tank on fucking line up there to fucking destroy this thing. This is 100 tons of homemade tank.
Yeah.
Okay,
he spent a year and a half like this.
It's unstoppable. Okay. And they're actually getting, like, other heavy equipment used for road building and shit to try to ram him. They even actually, a guy got a damn front end loader, and he tried to fucking turn the thing over. There's no way, because the thing weighs 100 tons. You're not going to move it. And it could move anything out of the way. And they're showing helicopter footage of him going up to buildings and just putting the blade on the wall of the building, then just running down the length of the building, and then the building just fucking collapsing. Then he'd move on to the next one. It's fucking bizarre. It's outstanding.
It's
actually outstanding.
It's a fascinating documentary. It's it's terrifying and compelling. And
just goes to show you what one man can do if he's got skill and fucking willpower.
In this particular case,
well, I feel sympathetic for him, though. He thought something had happened.
Yeah.
It didn't happen, but he thought it did. He was mentally impaired.
Yeah.
By this, you know, mental illness. He didn't kill anybody, but
he was destroying
the town because he thought that the town had destroyed his business. But nothing could have been further from the truth. He had a successful business. The motherfucker, tenfold increase on his fucking investment. How is that destroying
your
business?
That's what I mean.
Business?
I was like, man, I wish somebody would buy some of my shit for $400,000. I'd never complain about anything ever again.
That's a real estate dream.
Yeah.
To get a 10-time return on an investment. If anything, the fucking town showed him much love. But in his mind, they were all out to get him.
Yeah.
So it's fucking... The documentary was rated 4.5 stars. I went fucking rated it 5.
It's really good. It's really, really fascinating. Yeah. And like I said, you know, if you didn't know a lot about the case, and like I said, it's, you know, something that a lot of people forgot about, I guess, because, you know, the news cycle, you know, a big shit happened the next day. And so a lot of people forgot. And like you said, no one got killed, although it easily could. I mean, people easily could have been killed.
Well, his main... what he thought who was his nemesis, but it was actually a guy who helped him, which is the guy that owned the concrete thing. Everybody liked him.
Yeah.
He ran up on the tank with the front end loader, was trying to stop it from tearing down the concrete plant. He could have shot the guy with the 50, but instead he shot the shovel on the front of it. So I don't think Marv actually was trying to kill people. He was just trying to get even for the loss of the perceived loss of his business. He didn't lose his business.
Yeah.
He made 10 times back on it. And they didn't ask him to leave.
Yeah.
It was just crazy, you know.
It was just fascinating to me how someone can almost out of thin air
invent a narrative.
Once he had that idea in his head, it's like every single thing that happened was like more evidence of that.
Yeah. And because, for instance, he thought that God was telling him to do this. And one of the main things of evidence that God told him to do it is that the bulldozer, the front end shovel of the bulldozer, barely fit into the fucking shop.
Yeah, it was like an
inch. And this is a big old, and he goes, well, of course, God says I have to do this.
Yeah, he's like, because he bought it at an auction, I guess, without checking, like, how big. And he's like, so when he got it back, he's like, what if I'd have bought the big one, bigger one that I was looking at? It's like, this shows that it was meant to happen it only just fit.
Right, yeah. And he didn't have children or a family, so therefore that was more evidence that God said that he should do this.
That this was his mission.
Yeah.
In life.
And this is in his own words, you know, you can hear his own words because he recorded it all.
Yeah, he recorded like three or four long tapes.
It's great. They keep layering it into the documentary so you know what it is he's thinking at the time. I thought Marv was actually a sympathetic character. He was wrong, but I understand why he did it. You know what I mean?
I mean, if that shit had been true, anyone would be mad. Right. But
it wasn't true. It was just mental illness.
Yeah.
Like I said, that's really
scary.
But what's weird is that one thing that you'll learn is that mental illness has nothing to do with competency. This dude was extremely competent.
Well, yeah.
He could build a one-man tank and he thought that fucking shit through. It was totally indestructible. It didn't take him long to build it, a couple of years.
He had pneumatic air things to like blow dust off of the lenses of the cameras and shit. Yeah. He thought of fucking everything.
Yeah.
I was impressed.
Yeah. The fucking tank worked. And it was just one man working alone at night. Nobody knew he was building it.
Yeah.
Because
he kept it like hidden under tarps at night.
And then, and him being able to hide it was adding to the evidence in his mind that God had told him to do this. And then the same guy could have friends and go downtown and everybody thought he was normal. Everybody liked him.
Yeah. He went snowmobiling. He had this big group of guys. He went snowmobiling. They just thought he was awesome.
Yeah. And you know, he just had a mental illness. He could function normally around people, but when he was by himself, he'd start to imagine things. And this is the narrative that he was imagining.
Yeah.
That they were all out to get him. They were all laughing at him behind his back and they were scoffing at him and they were all plotting his, you know, demise and trying to run him out of town, and that it's just his imagination. And
human mind, it's a hell of a thing.
Yeah, man.
Hell of a thing.
Yeah.
But yeah, so seriously.
Human mind's a hell of a drug.
it can be, depending on what. Because like I said, this is the only filter you have to, you know, kind of interpret what you see around you in the world. And if something is amiss in here and you don't know about it, then your input is going to be skewed.
Yeah.
And that's like a really frightening thing to think about.
Yeah, they showed a lot of real footage of him running over parked cars, running over cop cars. He knew who everybody's car was. He knew where all the business was.
It's a real small town.
He had a whole plan on, he had a whole hit list of all the little targets he was going to hit. You know, he didn't hit them all, of course. You'll see what happened to him, you know, but it's a good documentary.
It really is, yeah. It's on streaming right now, and it's called Tread.
Yeah.
And you should seriously go check that shit out. It's the craziest fucking thing you've ever
seen. We wanted to do a show on it. It would have made a good show, but our show wouldn't do justice to it. To see the documentary.
Yeah, and like it's really nicely shot, too. And like, you know, like, it's very, very...
It's almost like an action movie.
It's kind of... But yeah, definitely go check it out on streaming. It's, I think on the Xbox it was what, $3.99, $4.99, something like that.
Yeah,
so it's cheap.
$4.99.
Go rent it. It's like it's really fascinating.